Go for it. Right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Danish and O'Neill podcast.
Yep, here we are. Here we are. We got a real scorcher if you're in Los Angeles. Get your swim trunks on and head on down and get some ice cream at John Little's place down by Buca di Beppo.
Scorcher. Did you ever, like, when you were a kid, was a scorcher a guy who smelled his own farts?
Never heard that term, no.
That was like when I was younger, it'd be like, what are you, a scorcher? My dad used to say it to me. He's like, what are you, don't be a scorcher.
No, never heard of that.
Okay, maybe.
Interesting terminology. Maybe you should bring it back.
He either made it up himself or it was like a Midwestern colloquialism.
never heard of that. I don't know if there was a term for that where I was from.
A fart sniffer?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, yeah, I don't know, though.
You just said, hey, what are you, a fucking fart sniffer?
But isn't everyone a bit of a scorcher?
Yeah, I just think, like, in the 80s, it was frowned upon more.
Now it's, those guys have become the heroes.
Yeah, they're the unsung heroes of 2020, the people who aren't afraid to admit that they smell their own farts.
Scorcher. James Painter was one of the best fart sniffers of other people's farts in the game.
That's true. John Little also. Not afraid to step into the fire and take a whiff and go, you think that's bad? Come on now.
My doctor wouldn't even see you based on that.
my doctor would tell you get the fuck out of the office.
I go to one of the best fart sniffing doctors. He would laugh you out of the fucking place.
You just see the waiting room of that doctor. It's just a bunch of people with what appear to be empty jars. They're like, what's in there? Oh, the doctor told me to fart into this jar and bring it in. And let just him sniff
people
it.
Farting up a storm in that waiting room.
What a fucking weird.
Highlights magazine.
Shit-stained Highlights magazines. I've been going out this week late at night around like 11 or midnight renting. You know, have you seen those Metro electric bikes they have?
Yeah, a homeless guy in my neighborhood cruises around on one.
What, he just rented permanently?
I don't know if it's broken. I mean, he just rides. I don't think he's paying for it because before this, his ride was, he was just riding around on the rims on a 10-speed.
Riding around on the fucking rims.
I've seen two different homeless guys riding rims. It's so loud, and I don't know how it even lasts. It's crazy. It's a sight to behold.
Dude, rims are super slippery. Like, there's no traction whatsoever. I mean, it's like riding on ice.
Yeah, these two guys are making it work. I mean, I don't know how far the distances they're riding, but they're riding on those rims.
Yeah, Ice Rim Racers should be a new Discovery Channel show.
Yeah, right after Ice Road Truckers.
Well, those bikes are pretty awesome because, you just pedal a little bit and it does most of the work for you.
Yeah.
So I go out for usually around 20 to 25 miles. Like the other night I was out in Beverly Hills. I went down Rodeo and down Wilshire and shit. Like I was pretty deep in there. But then... Abby wanted to go with me because I had told her about it. So we both rented bikes at like 10 o'clock the other night.
Do you wear a helmet or you got there no protection?
Well, I wear a helmet now. Let's just say that. I don't know why I wasn't wearing a helmet because I always wear a helmet when I mountain bike. But for some reason, I hadn't been wearing a helmet and she wasn't wearing a helmet. And so she's like, I'll just follow you. You know, wherever you go, I'll just follow right behind. So we're going down it's not a big hill at all. It's just like a gentle incline. And then I'm taking a right onto Franklin. And it's a stoplight. We have the green. I make the turn totally fine. Next thing I know, I hear a scream and a loud crash. And I turn around and just, she missed the turn and was trying to make it, hits the curb, flies over the handlebars, lands on a fire hydrant, and then crashes into a telephone pole.
Oh, man. Yeah. All right?
So she has like she had a lump on the side of her head that looked like half a tennis ball had been cut off and glued to her head. Her whole side of her leg was ripped up, and she has this fucking bruise on her chest that's like unbelievable. So I said, hey, should we go to the hospital? And she's like, fuck no. I'm not going to the fucking hospital under these conditions. So she's still alive. She might have a concussion, but it was bad. Like I found her laying literally wedged between like a telephone pole and a fire hydrant.
Was the bike rideable or was it destroyed?
No, so the bike has been in the same spot back in the rack for like 4 days because no one's able to unlock it because something was fucked up on it. And when we put it back in, it's supposed to beep to register that you've returned it. But it was it's never been logged as being returned.
So are you just still paying for it?
No, she had to call and tell that, like, make a phone call. And she emailed somebody after they got an email, gave her an email address, and was like, here's the situation. So they're like, okay, that's fine. But, yeah, I was like, of all times to fucking go down, this is not it. This is not the time to have to go to the fucking hospital.
Did she just overjuice it? What happened?
She said that, like, her muscle memory kicked in of when she was a kid and rode bikes. And you know how you used to push backwards on a bike to get it to stop?
Yeah.
And she thinks she was going in too hot to the corner and her muscle memory kicked in and pushed back on the bike, but didn't slow it down at all by that time. So there was a car on the other side of the track, not in her lane where she crashed, but across the street at the light that saw it happen. He stopped. A guy on a 10 speed stopped. Like, there was all these people. The guy on the 10 speed saw it happen. And she's like, dude, you like crashed over the handlebars, landed on all this shit, and then fucking rolled over on your side.
The fire hydrant's pretty low on things you want to land on. Pretty jagged, a lot of...
Dude, of all the spots, there was a wide open spot right before all of that happened where if she'd just been like 3 feet over, she would just landed on concrete, which would have been better than like basically playing pinball between the fucking fire hydrant and the telephone pole.
Jesus.
So I was like, it was weird. But if you live in L.A. or any big city, right now is a great time to go out at night, cruise these streets, because it is dead. I drove by Big Earl's house the other night.
Oh, be cool.
Yeah, I thought I might see him walking
the
dog.
Did you hear the moan, the moaning sounds of more than one man?
Yeah, he's like, come on, man, gotta keep it down. My fiance's upstairs.
Fuck less hard, bro.
Hey, you're really ripping me up. Be cool.
Shouldn't our friend of the show, Eric Heitz, have maybe looked into one of these bikes? A little less work for him out there.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you, the problem is they have like a range of like, I've seen them fully juiced. They usually have a range of about 30 miles.
Yeah, he would just have to switch them out.
He would have to charge it up every probably 10 miles because something tells me if you're hauling 500 pounds around, it's going to drain that battery a little quicker.
He could wipe out onto a fire hydrant.
Oh, dude, he would knock it off and the whole thing would rain into the air.
Make it disappear. He would just engulf it.
Oh, he would engulf it all right.
Guess what? You get to be blocked.
I went by the Comedy Store.
Oh, yeah? How's it doing? Show's still going?
Great. What? Yeah. There's coyotes in the parking lot. It's great.
There's bears.
Yeah, it's just a big old dust bowl.
I heard there's a tree growing up out of the parking lot.
I did see that they said CHP said there's an 87% increase in speeding tickets over 100 miles an hour.
They're loving it.
Yeah. Some dude in a Camaro got clocked doing 165.
Jesus. Turning into the Autobahn.
I get it. I got a little nervous the other day because I was cruising. I was doing, my car only goes 115, but I was juicing it. Because, you know, how can you not juice it at times like this?
Yeah, yeah. You don't know when open roads will be in LA.
Probably not for a while. So,
I've got that. Curb Your Enthusiasm, the latest season. Do you think it's a coincidence that they brought on the great actor we spoke about a few episodes ago, Carmine Caridi, who was we delivered groceries to, who was thrown out of SAG for allegedly pirating screeners that they give to actors, but then they did a piracy episode later in the season?
I know. I saw that. There were a lot of similarities. They had some Daddy Knows Best jokes in there.
we're saying that they definitely were stolen.
But why would you have him on there? And then it was almost like somebody knew that he had done that, and then they just brought him on as a joke? Like the most insider joke of all time.
Yeah, I'd say like me and you are probably to it. Like, and I guess people who know him, but... Yeah. Very few people. That joke plays to very few people.
Yeah.
But it seems like if it's not intentional, it's an awfully big coincidence that you bring on a guy who was brought in on the same charges.
I know.
For pirating. I mean, it's not like a common thing.
Maybe
pirating.
Somebody is related to him or like married into the family and knows it and then just wanted to make the joke.
Yeah, I don't know. And then obviously his episode, he was a guy like looking at porno. And
he definitely liked looking at porno.
His apartment was full of VHS porno. It was like a display case.
It was. Did you like this season?
I did. Yeah,
it was pretty good. At first, I was worried because there were so many jokes crammed into the and premises crammed into the first episode. I was like, it's funny, but I'm worried that he's like. He's been accumulating 10 years worth of material, and he's just, like, cramming it in.
The episodes were a little longer than usual, but I didn't really mind it. I liked the John Hamm episode, I think, probably the best.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I thought it was funny. If you like the show, you know, it's on par, I think, with everything else.
Yeah. I'll steer you away from something that I should have steered away from. It's the Too Hot to Handle.
You tried it out? I was thinking about it, and I couldn't pull the trigger.
Oh, I pulled the trigger. The problem is then I had to pull the trigger like 8 more times because, Jesus Christ. I mean, what a piece of shit, but what an addictive piece of shit.
Somebody who recommended it to us went to high school with the lady Francesca.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She was. She got way less hot the more her personality came out.
Where do they film it? Is it on UFC Fight Island?
Dude, it was filmed a year ago, and it was filmed, I think these producers, they had their own money in it. I think they were just going to shop it afterwards, because they were all staying in, like, one kind of house on a beach that they must have just rented for the month. There was not any movement anywhere else. It was all took place in this one place. They all slept in one bedroom.
Are they all boning?
No, that's the thing. You can't bone.
I thought you could, but you get a money fine if you do bone.
Yeah, but the money fine for a fucking, for finger banging was $16,000.
Jesus, who needs to finger bang that bad?
Dude, blowjob was like 20 grand.
What's the timetable on this?
1 month.
If you give me 100 grand, I can easily not fuck for a month.
You can't jerk it either.
That's fine.
And they're all, yeah, I know,
all day long.
I was joking. I was like, dude, can you imagine the 40-year-old version of this? Everyone would be like, yeah, I'm good. But this is like 21 to 30.
What else do we have to do? This is easy.
It's like 21 to 30, and these guys were all like self-proclaimed, like total horn dogs.
Like, yeah, dude, they asked me to be on the show, but I can't not fuck. Sorry.
You win 100 grand, basically. divided amongst everybody, whatever's left.
It's like a team game.
Yeah, $3,000 goes to, if you kiss, you lose $3,000.
Well, who's doing that?
Dude, these assholes. Dude, these motherfuckers were fucking.
Oh, my God.
Because they're like, we had to. It's for the good of the fucking. The fucking was $20,000. Blowjob was like $16,000 or
something.
What's
ass eating? $100,000?
You think that's the most egregious?
I don't know. I mean, it's probably the most intimate.
It was the dumbest shit. It was basically 10 people bragging about how much they fuck for 8 episodes. But also, I felt bad. There was like this Irish chick that nobody touched who looked good sometimes and she had a great body, but like nobody was interested in her. There was a couple other, one guy was only concerned about the money. He was just
weren't there like girl on girl? Was there guy on guy?
No, there was like two chicks kissed. That Francesca chick was like, fuck it. Let's just, you know how these like hot chicks are. She got way less hot though, by the way. I think the hottest one was Chloe, this British girl who was like dumb as shit.
How wasted were they 24/7?
Oh, I mean, that was the whole show was like, let's party like I party on the boat that I live on. Like,
these shows need to bring in one like 600-pound. I always say it just to spice things up.
Yeah, dude, I would also like I want to see. Yeah, I instead of just always getting like. There was, the hottest girl on there was this black chick. She was smoking hot. Rhonda. Then you find out.
I saw a picture of her, actually.
You find out at the end, because this guy and her fall in love, and then you figure out at the end that this fucking lady has like a 3-year-old or 2-year-old kid at home. She left for a month. She left for a fucking month to be on a reality show.
A 90-day fiancé, there's this hot chick from, I want to say, Seattle area. And she goes to meet her Australian boyfriend. She never met the guy. And she has two kids who are young. And it's like, she goes there for 3 fucking weeks. And you're like, what are doing, man? You can't do that. You're past that point. You have two young kids. Like, you can't just leave to go meet this guy that you've never met. Like, it makes no sense.
3 weeks? She went away for 3 fucking weeks?
She's like, I have to see if this is something I'm going to pursue. It's like, he lives on the other end of the world. Like, there's a lot of other shit you could pursue that isn't this. Like, it's not, you can't pursue it. You've given up that right. It's not doable.
As soon as I saw that, and I think, I don't know when she revealed it to the guy. She may have revealed it early on, but I think to make this lady seem more likable, they didn't reveal it until like the last episode. Because, dude, I was like, first of all, you don't have to be here. This is like this is so optional. It's unbelievable. But she had like a 2-year-old kid and she Skyped with him because she's like, I miss him so much. And then she introduces the guy that she's now fucking or wants to fuck to the kid via Skype on her or FaceTime. And the kid's like not even paying attention.
Is the guy like okay with the news or is he horrified?
Well, they're not together now post show.
He's like, yeah, I'm good with that.
he was like, oh yeah, it's not a problem, but I can tell you right after that show wrapped, he was like, fuck you.
Pretty sure if you're going on that show and you're like a self-proclaimed hornball and you're between those ages, you're not like, yeah, I definitely want to be a stepdad.
I know. That was it. But I was like, I mean, I was like blown away. I was like, you have a fucking kid at home and you did this shit for a month?
She should have brought the kid into the house. Sounds like a good place.
You'd sneak him in.
How disgusting are like those sheets and the shower just covered in jizz? And
oh, the worst is, so everyone sleeps in one bedroom and the toilets and everything are, they have cameras on them to make sure you don't jerk it.
Highly illegal.
I know. I think they must have done it in some foreign locale that doesn't have any laws.
I wish I was on that show as the jerk police. Creeping around with binoculars.
Oh, dude, they zoomed in on a chick giving a guy a blowjob under the sheets. I mean, the shower, the shower door was clear except for a white, like, bar that basically covered up your titties and your cock.
They're Courtney watches some like summer house show in the Hamptons. I don't know what the fuck it is, but I was happened to be in the room and these two people were fucking so loud. But the crew, it's just so crazy that there's crew members who are responsible for capturing all this. Such a weird job.
Oh, dude, in order to test, once you've found somebody that you're kind of into, they give you a night in like your own private suite to see if you cannot fuck. And there's cameras everywhere. There's cameras in the tub and everything. And these motherfuckers fucked in the tub, so everybody got to watch the whole fuck. It was like basically making private porno for the producers and crew.
I would be, if I were on the crew, I'd be constantly hooking up, whether it's all men or whatever, to be like, look at this. You guys can't get any of this action.
Dude, I'd be leaking all this shit online.
Such a weird premise. Reality shows have gotten to like, we're not far from Hunger Games being filmed. It's just, so you have to do so much to get these shows on because there's been so much reality TV.
Dude, it's idiotically brilliant. In a way, like I was like, I gotta see. You're like, these fucking morons, someone's gonna fuck. These people spent 20 grand and they're like, you know, but ultimately, what's 20 grand when, you know, it strengthens your relationship?
What did they end up all taking away?
At the end, like, they got the people that fucked up got the ability to redeem themselves by like spending one more night at the very end and not touching each other, not even touching, and they could win the money back. So I think they ended up getting like most of their money back and they split it amongst everybody.
Well, I hope that 2-year-old gets some nice presents because he was without his mother for a fucking month for absolutely no reason.
And he's gonna be like, so why were you gone for a month, mom, when I was 2? She's like, oh yeah, I was trying to see if I could not fucking masturbate or fuck everybody on the show. To win 10 grand.
That's more stupid than when that guy, Zach's wife, went into 60 days in, leaving her kid for, like, what, 2 months?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
just
yeah.
Just because she wanted to go into a jail to see what it was like.
Didn't that chick, like, want to be a cop or a fucking... She wanted... Yeah,
no,
what was the point
of
that?
He did, but she was like, I'm an addict, and I want to, like, face kind of, like... What I could have been. It's like, okay, can't you just imagine that?
Yeah, that was pretty shitty. Anybody who goes, at this point, if you're doing reality TV and you have a little kid at home, what is the point?
You may want to rethink it. It's not a good idea. They asked me to be on the show, but I can't stop taking these hot rods.
I couldn't bring Lois, the dog, so I couldn't do it. Yeah, dude, he would actually be a guy... He's like, I squirted in my shorts. Does that count? I didn't touch it.
All you'd have to do is put him in there with like big old like chicks with like off the charts tits, and he'd lose every cent of it.
Dude, every one of these chicks had off the chart tits.
No, I'm talking like these chicks could be 400 pounds, and they got to have like they're like flowing into the back everywhere.
Oh, you're talking like Patty Please style.
Yeah, I'm talking like insane, like off the chart. Not like not C's and D's. I'm talking like in the high alphabets.
You're talking like Cougar Island. Like he gets stranded on this place called Cougar Island, where it's just a bunch of like 60-year-old women with like double E fake tits.
Be cool,
dude. That would be. Oh my god. Yeah, he would. There were a ton of boners, too. Like, people were constantly, like, cuddling with people, and then when they would stand up, they would have to cover their boner with a fucking pillow. I've never seen so many boners. I guess I forgot what it was like to be, like, 22, though.
They should have got Joe Exotic out of prison. That guy is a hornball. He loves the fuck.
Allie, I'll fuck all you motherfuckers.
I'll fuck the women, I'll fuck the men, I'll fuck animals, I'm just happy to be out of prison. Fuck it.
There's a fucking dolphin out there, I'll fuck that dolphin.
This guy looks kind of like Travis. Like, all right, dude.
The smashed watermelon looks kind of like my fucking husband that shot himself.
Calm down. Jack tweeted me, I guess we were peddled the bill of goods, I think, and he wanted to correct our information.
We had what?
We've been peddled the bill of goods, and we were kind of reinforcing a falsehood. So he tweeted us. He said, as your official fan from the state of Oklahoma, I need to clear something up. Joe Exotic won 19% of the vote in the Libertarian primary, which equates to around 600 votes, but they made it seem like it was over the whole thing.
Yeah, I thought, oh, so he was going to be the Libertarian candidate. That is very misleading, because they definitely made it seem like he was, like, one of the front runners to win.
Yeah. No, so yeah, that was a falsehood. He wanted that cleared up.
That's a great call. I would want that too, because dude, 600 people is a lot different than 20% of the voting population of Oklahoma.
Yeah. No, yeah, and I think they did leave it vague because it obviously made him seem more legit and like, "Oh, how crazy is this?"
Yeah. Dude, 600 people. That's nothing. Like 600 people. I mean, you could find 600 lunatics that.
Yeah, I think I could. Yeah, I don't know if I could get that. I guess you'd have to try a little bit.
Dude, you could get more than 600 people to vote for you if you ran for some fucking ticket in California.
We should have Big Earl run for the mayor of West Hollywood.
All right. I propose glory holes in every wall.
I'm not gay, but I'll suck a few of you off. Let's do it.
I drove right down that main strip in West Hollywood on Santa Monica the other night. It is it's still very festive over there. They have all kinds of decorations and like Christmas lights going. It's looking good.
That's nice. Well, there's some place, I guess there's like a thing where you put Christmas lights up to like pick people's spirits up.
Is that what it is?
That's what I've heard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like people do it on their houses and stuff.
I mean, I've also seen people that just have Christmas lights up all year too. So
yeah, there's that too.
I don't know which is which.
General laziness.
Yeah. We used to leave our Christmas lights up and then I would just plug them in come like November. And then any of the lights that were burnt out, any strings, I would just put new strings around them. Real lazy ass shit right there.
Keep them up all year. We have somebody we mentioned on the show one time passed away.
Whoa.
The Oregon Zoo otter, Eddie. He was known for slam dunking and jerking his dick. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, I do. Oh, that's a big loss.
Yeah, he passed away age 20, which I guess
is that
a
lot for an
otter?
Or is that not much?
No, I think that's pretty long life. He said he almost made it to 21, almost was able to legally drink.
Man, it's tough to lose an otter that loves to jerk it. That's not something you run into every day.
Yeah, no, it's a rare occurrence. Sad I didn't get to see him slam dunking and jerking his cock in the wild. Well, not in the wild.
I would like to have a group set up of just zoo animals that are constantly known for their jerking.
Like the Harlem Jerk Trotters?
Yeah, or like the Bronx Zoo bear who does nothing but lick his dick all day while he's in captivity.
How did the dunking, what is weird that he could play basketball or that he was constantly jerking it?
I honestly think that the dunking and the adulation he got from it probably got him aroused and forced him to jerk it more.
He should have gone on Too Hot to Handle, see if he could stop jerking it.
Dude, can you imagine if they had a bestiality version of Too Hot? Some guy's like, I got to spend a night alone with this horse. Now, I don't know if I could control myself.
I'd watch it. I don't know if anyone else would.
I mean, everybody would watch it. You'd have to film it on a boat in international waters. There'd be no other way you could legally do it. I guess the thing is, like, if you don't fuck the horse, you don't go to jail. Well, no, it's legal in some states.
Yeah, they'd have to figure out where they were at.
Man, I feel like all these networks are dropping the balls on like what they could possibly be doing with these premises.
Rest in peace to Eddie. I hope he's slam dunking it and coming up in heaven.
Did he? How do you replace him?
I mean, that's a big attraction.
Did he ever blow his loads through the net? Is the question.
I heard he would onto the backboard while he was up there.
That's. Did he have other otters that he could fuck in there?
I don't know. I'm not sure. The LA Zoo, the otter, the giant otters are some of the smelliest creatures in that whole zoo. You can smell them from like a mile away.
Them and the flamingos smell like those, shit.
Those otters stink. I don't know if it's because of the fish, but yeah, they're not good.
It's because their hands are always juiced up for jerking with fish oil.
It's a ripe, disgusting smell.
Yeah, it smells like a hoarder's apartment.
Ugh. Lee sent me the link for Street Beefs, and I watched a few of them.
They're pretty amateur.
It's a fighting organization on YouTube. It's not in the street, though. Bit of a misnomer. It's in somebody's backyard.
Well, it's not always in someone's backyard. Have you seen where they're just in like an opening in a forest or a park?
No, I just saw the backyard footage.
Early Street Beefs was just people would make a circle in like a dirt area. And then they started upgrading it to people's backyard with homemade fencing and stuff like that.
Definitely not the highest budget thing I've ever seen in my life.
No, not at all. But I will say this, because I started watching that probably about a year ago. It was probably like 8 months ago or so. And I will say they have upgraded. Like he built that channel. It's got a decent following, and now he has chicken wire, and he has like aluminum siding inside the cage.
I saw the best one. I think I saw was because they give nicknames to all these people. They don't use like real names. It's like if you played like N1 basketball, they give you like a street basketball name. One guy's name was Bucket List because he was an old man. And he fought this young black guy, and the old man won.
Oh, did he?
But they were wearing boxing gloves. Because, you know, they always wear, I think that was the stipulation, but, you know, they usually wear MMA gloves.
Wait, could you take them down, though? Or was it just boxing?
Straight boxing.
Okay, because sometimes they do have not MMA rules.
No, yeah, this one was just this old man. He was legit like an old dude. And, like, all you could just hear around, like, the people, come on, old school. All right, come on, old school, here we go.
I like the dude that hosts it. He's not good at stopping matches when like someone's getting punched in the back of the head. I wouldn't trust my safety in that crew. Because also
that bald guy?
Yeah, they have guys that are not in the same weight classes at all. I've seen a few of those.
There's definitely no like blood testing, right? So you could go in there with AIDS or hepatitis.
Blood testing? Dude, I don't even think they check your ID.
There's that one guy who like he calls every he's like a small white guy and it's like experiment 5 and people are like what?
There are a couple of guys that are decent.
The most fights I saw was one guy was good and one guy looked like he just got off a fucking bus.
Yeah, and they all gas within the first 2 minutes.
Like, I saw a guy from, he flew in from, I think, the Netherlands, and he fought some guy who was, like, I don't know if the guy had ever, like, done anything. And the Netherlands guy just fucking whipped him within, like, 5 seconds.
You don't really need a extensive fight history to get in on this. But I have noticed that most guys, I think they're guys who are, like, oh, I could do this and didn't really train that much, and which in within 30 seconds, a lot of these dudes are winded.
I don't know how are the matchups made to be mismatched, or that's just how it happens?
I think, who was that guy that used to do the matchups in the UFC that retired?
Was his name Silva?
Remember the short guy, the little tiny dude?
Yeah, can't remember.
It was Dana, and then remember they're like, well, we got to talk to...
yeah, I can't think of his name.
Well, you remember, maybe that guy is just moonlighting in that fucking in the YouTube organization.
He left the UFC to build up Street
Joe
Beef.
Silva.
There you go.
We got to go talk to Joe Silva.
UFC's got 3 cards coming up within the same week.
Did you see that Anthony Pettis and fucking Cerrone are headlining the prelim card?
Yeah, what's with that? That card is stacked, though.
I know, but, dude, Cerrone and Pettis. Pettis was a title holder. Cerrone, then, I mean, they put Anderson Silva on a prelim card, didn't they, once?
Yeah, I mean, this car, that car is just that stacked. They're like, well, you know, sorry, guys.
They gave Greg Hardy a main card on one of those. Aren't they doing 3 days in a row of fights?
It's like every other day.
Yeah, Greg Hardy is on the main card of one of those fights.
Yeah,
that guy just lost.
He's a good guy. You got to reward him, man. You got to throw him a bone.
It really is. And also, this John Jones thing, like, Dana's smart. Because this John Jones thing is just flying under the radar.
I've seen a lot of people, like, John Jones is very active on Twitter. Like, he takes shots at Adesanya a lot, and then he deletes them, but people screenshot him.
Well, he also took a shot at Anthony Smith being like, you know, glad Anthony Smith is safe, but, like, if that guy broke into my house, you know, he'd be living in a fucking ambulance, some shit like that. Anthony Smith's like, fuck you, dude.
He's like, if that guy broke into my house, he'd catch me cheating on my girlfriend and mother of three of my kids.
Somebody wrote a great response to it where they're like, if someone broke into John Jones's house, they would have to wait 3 hours for him to get back from drinking and driving to take him down.
That's what I was going to say, is people troll him, and he answers a lot of it, and the trolls are actually pretty funny. One, like, he's like, been teaching my oldest daughter how to box till the last week, and this guy said, have you taught her how to poke people in the eye yet?
What did he say to that?
He said, no, not yet.
He's back in the public eye pretty quick. I think people are just like, it's John Jones. Kind of like when Mike Tyson was fucking up. People are like, it's Mike Tyson. What are you going to do?
I got to say, I've been thinking about it. I forgot to ask you about this. Remember what John Jones, we've told the story many times, but if you've never listened to us, he once punched us both in the balls. We were at after a premiere party. And Ari was involved. Do you think, I think Ari told him to do it. I think it was an inside job.
Oh, you think Ari said punch these two guys in the balls?
It just seems very odd that he, both of us, the more I think about it, I think he was instructed to do it as a part of what Ari may have handed him.
Because it was out of the blue.
Like, yes.
It was very, and he didn't know us. He just punched us pretty decent whack in the nuts.
So we owe Ari a ladling next time we see him, a ladle to the cock in balls.
Now we got to go back. Even if you've started listening to us even in the past few years, maybe, what was it, 10 years ago we had a pact with Ari? Because we were punching each other in the balls so much that I once woke up from a nap and I immediately covered my balls because I thought someone was hitting me. So we had
me on stage.
We had to form a pact that if anybody tries to hit the other person in the nuts, they get this. It's not really a ladle. It's one of those dog ball throwing, whatever you want to call it.
That was Dean Galbers. Bro, fetch it. Remember, he used to bring in that dog.
Oh, yeah. And you get it bent back, and then it whips you in the nuts. But technically, he may have broken that pact by having John Jones do his dirty work for him.
You can't outsource your ball shots.
That's true.
To a fighter.
I would only accept
fighter?
It.
We got to get a fighter. That we got to find someone we know and get him to ball shot Ari.
Mickey Gall.
Maybe like a telegram ball shot. Knock on the door.
We need to
and
get
just
a
punch you in the ball.
We need to get Chuck Liddell on Cameo to punch Ari in the nuts.
He's been doing a lot of interviews lately. He's making the rounds.
Who, Ari?
Chuck Liddell.
Oh, Chuck.
Ari.
Wait,
Ari's
what
in,
is...
Ari's in hiding.
What is Chuck Liddell talking about?
He's just, like, doing, like, that UFC ambassador shit, saying, like, you know, Conor McGregor came up to me once and was like, hey, man, I'm a big fan. I got into this because of you. I was like, that's cool. I don't know. He's not really saying anything of substance.
What a fucking... one time I walked past fucking Anderson Silva, and he was taking a piss.
Yeah, it's like stuff like that. Like, all right, cool, Chuck. Good seeing you.
Good catching up, Chuck.
Remember, was it him? Wasn't he lifting weights naked or something with his lady or some lady?
He was on the treadmill and then he went to like, or she was on the treadmill and he was lifting weights. Did he say it was like a joke?
Was he married? Was that his wife or was he married?
No, he was already divorced. That was his girlfriend. Okay. It wasn't like anything that he should have been. Like, not doing. Well, yeah, he should have just been wearing some pants while he lifted weights.
I want to go to that gym where Chuck Liddell works out naked.
They claim he has a huge dong.
Really?
Yeah. They actually, his original UFC fight name was Chuck the Dong Iceman.
The big dick?
Yeah, Chuck the Big Dong Iceman.
Chuck the fuck.
If you haven't checked this out on YouTube, they're doing these like kind of a where are they now old school UFC fighters. Old Mark Coleman.
What's he up to?
It's actually, they're very well produced because obviously they have the budget and like they have talented people behind the camera. But it was like looking back at his career, you're like, holy shit, man. Like going, you forget how much shit he did do. But then to see him now and like he's divorced and he's got these two daughters and like he's just trying to reconnect with them. And he's got this new girlfriend and they just had a new kid who's like 3 years old. And
Jesus, how old? He's got to be old, right?
Yeah, I think he's like 50s now.
He's got CTE too, I would guess.
He's a little slower. It's very heartwarming because you're like, oh, this is cool. Like looking back, but the guy's like, he doesn't. There's no ego involved. He's just like, man, I wish I could go back in time and fight again. But not that like sad. You're just like, oh, here's a guy like. This was the one thing he was great at. He just wants to be great at something again.
Does he coach wrestling or something? Like, what's he do for a job?
He's coaching his girlfriend's son and his friend in MMA, and they both look pretty fucking sharp. Like, they're in the basement of his house. He's in there coaching.
Stepfather to get. He's like, I'll make you an MMA star.
He seems just like a real... kind of like a fucking gentle giant. Seems like a pretty decent guy. They did Tim Sylvia too. Tim Sylvia's a good one. He is. He had a kid too. He says he blames his kid for losing his lack or his luster for fighting because he said when he had a kid he didn't want to hurt anybody anymore. Like it made him too soft.
He's like, fuck you, I hate you. You ruined my career.
He has a hunting show that he does on his property that I think must be a YouTube show. And then 8 months out of the year, he's a manager of a roofing company.
That's weird.
Yeah. But he talks about like, he's super honest about it all too. Like, remember even when he was like 500 or 400 pounds trying to fight?
Yeah, he got big.
Like he talked about like how his injuries and like, I didn't know that when he did those roids, you remember in the UFC when he did, we got busted for roids?
Yeah.
He claims it wasn't performance enhancing. He claims that it was just because he wanted to be ripped and look good with his shirt off because he was super self-conscious of his body.
He was kind of loose. He always had that loose gut.
It made sense. Both of those are the ones I saw. They were both really interesting because those are guys, I mean, we grew up watching. It is interesting to see like what happens when you did kind of make it to the top. But that was before there was any money to be made in the UFC. Like, what the fuck do you do then?
Yeah. I saw old Ken Shamrock still wrestling.
What? Where? In someone's backyard? Where'd you see him on? Like, street beefs?
He's doing, like, off-brand pro wrestling shows. He's like, in his 60s?
He's got to be, like, 56, 57 years old, probably.
What's he doing? I mean, obviously he's getting the check, but how could it be for that much?
I mean, what's the alternative? Something tells me he doesn't have any money left, maybe. He was doing, like, private security for a while. He was doing, like, bodyguard shit.
He's 56.
He's 56? Yeah. Wait, what organization is this? Billy Corrigan's fucking Chicago?
He's got five fucking kids.
That's why he's doing this, dude. He's got five kids to support.
Let me see.
Still crazy to me that he is not biologically related to Frank Shamrock because those two fucking guys look like they're like brothers. They could be twin brothers almost.
He's with Impact Wrestling, which is like fairly low on the wrestling totem pole.
Yeah, but it's still not like regional shit.
No, it's bigger than that, but it's odd to have like... He's definitely the poor man's version of Brock Lesnar when it comes to MMA guys who've gone to wrestling.
Yeah, I wouldn't even... also, he was a legend.
Colby Covington says he wants to be in the WWE by 2021.
Oh, he will be for sure. Like, that guy's a great fucking villain.
Yeah, if anybody is going to piss people off, that guy knows how to piss people off. Did you see today Donnie Trump congratulated Triple H on 25 years with the WWE on Twitter?
I was like,
what timing to fucking do this? That's crazy.
What a fucking weird thing to do. Triple H, 25 years, been a great ride.
He said something like, "Now, Triple H, this is a winner." It's like, dude, your sense of timing is so crazy.
Also, you're talking about a fake fucking sport.
He's in the Hall of Fame, Donnie Trump, for the celebrity wing, along with Drew Carey.
Is Drew Carey?
He's done a bunch of like WrestleMania shit over the years.
Drew Carey?
Yeah.
Really?
Must be a fan, or I don't know. I just wanted to do it.
Is David Arquette in there?
I don't think so. He mainly did stuff with WCW, so I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
He wrestles now. Do you know that?
There's a documentary coming out about him. I just saw the trailer for it, where it's like he's so in love with it that it's his like road back to redemption. Because didn't he get shit on because he was like...
Because he won the belt and people were pissed. He does like those bar shows that are...
Yeah.
Extreme rules. Like he's getting staple gun. Like he's doing all this crazy shit.
In the trailer, he's just like, I love it so much. And I think he's making a comeback. The documentary, I think, was about his like comeback at like 53 years old. Jeez, to go.
I can't feel good the next day.
And I think also
guys in these bar shows aren't usually the best trained.
Dude, I don't care what your love of the game is. Like, he has money. He got probably a shitload of money when he divorced Courtney Cox. She had friends' money. And I think probably if his acting career had been a little longer and he'd been a little more reputable, he probably wouldn't be doing this. But, dude, you couldn't pay me enough to go in and do that shit.
Especially in bars. It's like you're not even doing real shit. You know, you're just doing them for so few people.
He's doing it for the love of the game, man. That's it.
I think it was him. He was in some match where they were breaking light fixtures over each other's head, and the other guy kind of went rogue, and he's like, I'm done, man. I'm done. And he wanted to stop.
Oh, was that the one he got shit on for?
The guy kept breaking shit over his head, like, a lot, and he's, like, just gushing blood. I think he was, like, holding his eye in almost at one point, like it was going to, like, pop out of his head.
Yeah, didn't he have to go to the hospital? Some people were calling him like a pussy or something after something happened.
It's not even a real thing. Like, it's so crazy when these guys go rogue because it's like it is, say what you want about it, but there are choreographed elements, obviously. But it's like, so why are we going, like, it's not, why go that crazy? It's not a competitive thing. It's so weird.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, I used to watch wrestling when I was a kid, but like, now with all the concussion shit, like, if I were going to do anything, it would be, like, regular fighting, like MMA. You're getting the same amount of damage, probably way more.
Yeah, because there's no submit, you know what I mean? There's no submissions. Most matches are fairly long.
And don't those guys usually fight every week in the WWE?
Multiple times, because they have the televised shows, but then the non-televised shows, too. So, like,
wait,
two,
what's
three
the
times
non-televised?
A week. They're just for, like, the people, you know, this making money for people going to see it.
Oh, yeah.
So just
no,
do like
I mean,
live
I think
shows.
The damage of that is far greater. You imagine you must have a concussion every fucking week.
When you're never home either. Like you just live in hotels.
Which I think was cooler back in the day before social media and everything. Cause you could do a lot more fucking, around.
They
now it seems like everybody
a lot more. I think now the guys are like a little more straight and narrow.
Fucking dorks.
I saw
dorks.
Have you heard there's a Netflix documentary called, have you seen it? It's called How to Fix a Drug Scandal.
Oh, I've seen it. I have not watched it.
I saw it. It was pretty good. It was, it was like one of those where you're like, they kind of stretched it. They did four episodes.
Wait, that's not the one with the pharmacist, is it?
Yeah, it's two drug lab testers in Boston who are in Massachusetts who like kind of go off the rails.
Oh, no. I watched The Pharmacist about a dude who... like helped launch the war on opioids. I didn't see this.
Yeah, this was like one of the women. So the women had nothing to do with each other, but it like kind of overlapped. One of the women So they were working in labs that test the drugs, like in people who get arrested, to see if what they reportedly either had or were selling or whatever it was the actual drug.
To see if they how much time they're going to get if they're fucking going to jail.
Because say you end up with like fake, if someone sells you fake, then you're not in trouble, even though you were trying to buy real drugs. So one of the women just, like, she was like outperforming the rest of her lab by like 300%. People were like, how the hell is she doing this?
Like, what, testing positive more than anybody
just
else's?
Just the number of tests she was doing was like insane. And it turned out she was just like testing one of them and then just saying like everything was positive.
What a
eye.
Fucking cunt. Are you kidding me? What the fuck? You fucking crazy bitch.
And they had all these emails. She was like talking to the prosecutors and the cops like, we're all on the same team. And they're like, no, your job's not to prosecute. Your job is just to test. That's it.
Oh, so like, this bitch was like, she's like, oh, I'm like you. I'm a cop. You and I, we're fighting crime together.
Yeah, she's like, we're a dream team. And then she got kind of crazy. She was married, but she did this fake email. She was doing the email, but it was from like some fake email name she made up that was like, man, you're so attractive. Like, you shouldn't be single. And she like CC'd this prosecutor she wanted on it to be like, to let her like basically say like, hey, I'm available and hot. But it was from like a third party that she had made up.
What? Was she hot? Like
this, I didn't think so. I mean, she was just like this small, thin Indian woman.
Dude, what a lunatic. How did she get this fucking job?
I don't know. Like, I guess she was like a fairly good student, but she was a first generation American, and they say the pressure may have just made her do crazy shit.
What do you think? Her family was like, no, not only are you going to test these fucking drugs, you're a cop now. You got to bring everybody down.
So these lawyers, they had like a couple of lawyers in their defense attorneys who were like trying to get clients out based on, imagine being in prison and you're like, fuck, yes, like this person tested your drug sample.
Dude, you should get to punch this fucking lady in the fucking asshole.
They were trying to dismiss like thousands of cases because this lady was just like, doing like 300, some crazy number, like 300 cases a day, like, and you just like positive, 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 positive.
Is she in prison?
Because they were like at the attorney general's, they like were trying to cover it all up. So they did, her and this other lady did very little time.
Dude, this lady should get the worst punishment imaginable. She should be tortured. She should be fucking tortured on live TV. Like, this is, can you fucking imagine if you went down because of this fucking bitch? I mean, where she live now?
It's very little is known about her now. She's kind of like disappeared.
Dude,
she's never done an interview with the press, and she just kind of like, I don't know what she does or where she is. The documentary doesn't even say that. It's like, you got to tell me what her job is now.
Yeah.
Like, well, you don't like follow up on her. They didn't delve into her at all. It was mainly about this other woman who worked at a lab like out in Western Mass, like the Sticks. Those were the two main labs. One in Boston was the one with that woman. And then this lady works out in the Sticks. And she basically was like, oh, I didn't really like my life. So I just started like doing the sample. Like they had like the standards that you test against.
Yeah.
This lady starts doing pure meth every day while she works.
What the fuck?
She's like, but I was still doing a good job. She's like, I didn't want to get caught, so I was doing a better job. They're like, dude, you're doing fucking pure meth. She's like, I ran out of that, so then I started doing pure amphetamines. Ran out of that, I started doing pure cocaine.
I mean, how many of her tests were her tests faulty as well, like all of them?
What's weird is they wanted to cover it all up, so they just claimed that she had been doing it for like a four-month period. But then they talked to her. They offered her a deal, and she's like, "No, I'd been doing it like for 10 years that I."
And she fucked up all of the testing.
They didn't even retest. That was the attorneys were like, "How do you not retest anything?"
Wow. So wait, they wanted to just keep people in jail based on her tests?
Pretty much, and they just didn't want it to be a big scandal, which made it a bigger scandal because it was just like, yeah, you know, it's not a big deal. And I was like, dude, this is she was smoking crack on the job.
No, I know, but I want to know how badly they don't know how badly it affected her performance testing.
No, they never like tested anything, which is dude, nuts.
I love how people are like, people go after Ari or Louis C.K. when there's these fucking psychos are out there. Why don't you find out where they live? Why don't you go do shit to their house?
Her sister was complaining. She's like, you know, like she had to go to prison, you know, because of her job. I was scared. It's like, yeah, she deserved to go to prison. And if someone fucked her up in there because of her job, that's her fault. She shouldn't have done that.
Dude, she deserves whatever horrible shit happens to her, she fucking deserves it.
She was, what's funny about her is she was into ladies, and she was the first female in the state of Rhode Island to play high school football.
Like, what was she, a kicker?
And I get it. It's obviously, you know, I guess I'll call her a trailblazer. It seems generous. But all she played was freshman year. I knew guys who, you know, like freshman years when, like, it's the last year where, like, anyone who wants to go, you know, like, you want to go fuck around and do it.
You're talking about the first chick to do it. Also,
yeah.
She thinks she's going to be varsity? You know how fucking mean and big those guys are?
They claim she was, like, great, but I don't know why she quit. But it was just funny they kept talking about
What position did she?
She was a lineman. Not a small lady.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
What? What the? I'll have to check this out.
That's interesting.
That Tekashi 6ix9ine got released because of the corona shit, and now he wants permission to shoot music videos in his backyard.
Yeah, why not? That's essential.
What a fucking piece of shit. He does all that shady shit and then just rats every motherfucker out. I hope
someone's coming for him, I would guess. Yeah,
I hope so. I didn't know that they did give him the early release. He's supposed to get out in July. How much time did he fucking serve? Like a year?
He wasn't in there long. And I think a lot of it, he was in isolation because he was worried he was going to get killed.
Dude, what a fucking pussy, too, to be like...
He's tiny. He's a small dude.
I know, but he, man, I hope somebody fucking beats the fuck out of that guy.
You ever heard him rap? He's beyond horrible.
I saw his live performance on YouTube, and I go, I can't wrap my head around this. Like, nowhere in my brain does this I can't even fantasize about this possibly being entertainment for people.
These SoundCloud rappers, I guess you're almost like half YouTuber, half rapper, but they're like beyond horrible.
This motherfucker's rich as shit too.
Oh, he's real rich. He's Daniel Hernandez. He's got new music.
What a fucking
make.
Bitch. Hopefully he loses all street cred with his rapping because this motherfucker is just a snitch.
You would think.
People have short memories. Our favorite Little Zane. Remember Little Zane?
Little Xanax?
Little Xan?
Yeah.
Or Little Xan.
He can't tie his own shoes.
He also had to go to the hospital because he had a panic attack over coronavirus.
What?
They took him away in an ambulance.
Jesus.
I was like, dude, if I were a rapper, like an old school rapper, I would be like, I mean, I'm sure they are, but disgusted at today's so-called rappers.
No, I mean, it's weird, though, because there are a ton of rappers who I've never heard of who keep getting killed. So there's, like, those guys.
Yeah.
But then there are, like, the Little Xans of the world where you're like, what world do you fit in?
He was like, his tweets were all like, anybody else, you know, got any ideas to, like, help cure the loneliness during this quarantine?
Oh,
like,
my
Jesus
God.
Christ, dude.
He's reaching out to Twitter for advice. It's always a good sign.
Dude, watching a guy go to the hospital in an ambulance that has face tats, who, I guess he has him to look like a badass, but, man, what a fucking sad sack of shit.
You know, the EMTs were like, God, this fucking pussy.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, he was like, can you tie my shoes? I can't do it. I'm a kindergartner.
I mean, what a... Yeah, oh, he also lives in his mom's house, so...
He lives at home?
I don't know if he was just, like, staying there, but, yeah, I mean,
he dated his mom's house. Miley
Cyrus's
sister, right?
Yeah. I don't think, like... I don't think younger chicks like dudes anymore. Because all these chicks love Lil Zane and like how sensitive he is.
I guess. He also was the guy who was like online thanking his lady for letting him bone whoever he wanted, saying like how cool she is.
Yeah, I heard some porn star talking about fucking Lil Zane, and like she's like, "Oh, I love him so much. He's such a sweetheart." And I was like, "Is that's how this is going these days?" Like these little fucking pussies.
If you want non-threatening, he's a little tiny dude. He's as non-threatening as it gets.
But dude, how do these guys fuck now? It's unbelievable. Like Tekashi 6ix9ine's tiny dude. He's a real pussy.
He's a pedophile. He's on the sex offenders list.
Did he have to register? Was that part of it?
I think he did, yeah.
Because he fucking videotaped those guys fucking that chick and like he was like fingering her or something.
And the girl was like 14. I was like 13 or some crazy. And people were like, that's what's another thing is like go after comics who say stuff, but let this guy have a career. That's cool.
No, I know. That's the weird thing. It's like, we should fucking kill Ari, but forget this dude. Forget fucking the lady that's testing people and putting them in fucking prison for something they didn't do.
John Jones is hitting pregnant women and leaving the scene of the crime. That's cool. Let him fight.
He may or may not have shot a gun in a bit, and it wasn't what appeared to be kind of a downtown area.
You son of a bitch. He was talking to homeless people and treating them like human beings. That's what he was doing.
That is true.
And he was just bored. Give him a break.
Yeah. It's like, oh, God, woe is me, you fucking pussy.
Israel Adesanya just shits on him all the time on Twitter. It's funny. I enjoy it.
Seems like most guys. Anthony Smith had some funny comeback. Like, they came from the heart from Anthony Smith because he was like, fuck you, dude. Like, you've never had somebody in your house. Like, you don't know how you're going to react. And he had a pretty fucking devastating blow. I can't remember exactly how it went. It was basically just calling him a piece of shit.
Dana White's going to run for office with all this PR he's been getting.
Dude, I can't believe, like, people are like, build the fight island. We need this now more than ever.
He says he's building it. He says he's building a cage on a legit beach, like a fucking 80s movie. And I don't know if he's building or this place has hotels. He says hotels and training facilities, and it's going to be up and running soon, according to him.
So it's an outdoor fight?
That's what it sounds like, yeah. Like almost like a Thailand outdoor arena style.
Dude, I don't know. Have you ever watched? You know, they used to do a lot of boxing outside. Do you remember that?
Just like guys get gas because it's hot as shit. I remember, was the Foreman and Ali in Africa? Wasn't it like near 100 degrees?
Yeah.
One of those fights?
Dude, the fan man broke into the fucking Tyson bout.
Wasn't that Riddick? Was it Riddick Bowe or was that Tyson?
Either or. Whoever, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, why fight? And or say it rained. There's just a lot that can go wrong on that.
Also, it does nothing to add to the appeal to me of fighting.
It seems like it's gonna make it real cheesy. Like guys are gonna be jumping in the ocean after fight. After you're like, what is this?
It does seem corny. It's like, look at there's gonna be a camera shot of the cage empty, and then there's a beautiful sunset and a beach back there. It seems like a shitty reality show.
It'd be like if the NFL was like, we're going to play it on a guy's big backyard instead of an arena. It's like, but you know why? You don't need to.
Or they're playing it on the sand on a beach somewhere.
A guy, the Pro Bowl used to do that, like a sand football game with like a lot of the players, and a guy on the Patriots back in the day, a running back, fucked his knee up. He was never the same. He tore his ACL.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dude, running in sand. I can't even watch beach volleyball because it gives me... Like, moving in sand is always, everything's moving in slow motion. Like, I hate not being able to move at the proper speeds.
And then if you watch, like, the women, they're basically wearing thongs and, like, the sand's, like, all up on their ass.
Yeah,
like,
I hate
just the rash. Like, it makes me feel like I'm getting a rash just watching it.
Yeah, I hate sand in my asshole is one of them, on my nutsack.
Weird. I usually love it.
A lot of people do. So
it's
going to be a crowd divider for sure.
Let's get out of here on this. This is from Lee. I think Lee's been this is a twofer for Lee. He's been trying to get something on for a while. He always says I'm denying him on purpose, but I'm not. This is NBC
well,
News.
I don't know. You do tell me all the time, you're like, Lee sent me something. It's a good article, but I'm not putting it on because it's Lee.
He may want to talk to Triple and try to figure out what the conspiracy is. This is John Little's neck of the woods, Sand Springs, Oklahoma. Yeah, I dated a girl from Sand Springs. Broke up with me because I pissed all over the seat. She fell in.
Sand Springs? Is that do you remember when John Little wanted to get a sand pit? He said, it's great. You just it refills itself. Maybe that's what Sand Springs is about.
It's like it's all sand. It's beautiful. You wouldn't even... It's like money just waiting to be printed. This is a while ago. This is in January. A dude in Oklahoma, this is a very Oklahoma thing to do. He stole a pickup truck. Turns out, though, there was a sleeping passenger and a goat inside it. And that's quite the haul. It was the truck. You think that goat was in the bed or the goat was in the actual cab?
I couldn't even begin to fathom why a guy was sleeping in there and there was a live goat moving around. And how this guy didn't see either of these two, like the minute he broke into the car and just left it.
This is Brandon Wade Kirby was the driver. So he drove all the way from Missouri to Oklahoma. That's a long fucking haul to drive with a man and a goat.
He didn't know it till the end?
I don't know, before he released the terrified victim and the animal, and then he got arrested eventually.
Dude.
So here's what happened. Two dudes in the truck parked outside of an adult video store in Missouri.
This is real.
This is real. This is NBC News.
Whew.
So two dudes are looking for some porno. Late Tuesday into Wednesday. They park outside with their goat, which is obviously suspicious because they're buying porno and they have an animal in there that they probably would be fucking.
Yeah, I would say there's 99% chance they're fucking that goat.
Yeah, I'd say maybe more.
Why do guys that are into bestiality always bring a friend along? Like, why do they always have bestiality buddies?
I think it's because, obviously, there's a guilt associated with it. So if other people are doing it, you're like, it can't be that bad.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So the driver went inside the store and the passenger fell asleep. How long was this guy in there browsing? He's like, come on, man, I'm dead tired.
Guy's like, I'll be back in 4 hours. I got to find the perfect porno.
Give me some time. There's a lot of new releases that I need to check out in there.
Dude, this could have been a quarantine porno run. They're like, we're probably not going to make it back here for like another month. So I got to stock up on porno.
It's the toilet paper of Missouri. Like,
and these guys have no internet.
Get your porno while it's still on the shelves. When the passenger awoke, a masked man was driving the truck and pointing a gun at his head. That's a hell of a way to wake up from a sleep.
Man.
The suspect, 40-year-old Brandon Kirby, drove from Missouri through Kansas. 130-mile drive. During the drive...
This guy held a gun to the guy's head the whole fucking 130 miles. How annoying that would be.
During the drive, Kirby took some meth. He pistol whipped the victim and continually threatened him, according to the arrest report.
Ooh.
Eventually got arrested in Oklahoma. John Little was the arresting officer. After he let the passenger and the goat out of the truck and the victim called 911, smart to not take his phone. Kirby's from west of Tulsa. He was jailed on suspicion of kidnapping, pointing a firearm, and being a felon in possession of a firearm.
Dude, how bad is this, though, for the guy with the goat and the guy in the porno store? Because something tells me they don't want anyone to know that they're at a porno store. They don't want anyone to know that they're with a goat in a vehicle. This is like the worst fucking way that you can possibly be exposed for doing this kind of shit.
The one guy got stuck in the porno store.
He probably still in there looking for pornos.
He's like, what happened to my ride?
Dude, what an embarrassment for everybody involved, but particularly those guys with that fucking goat.
I wonder what the dude who did that, like, why did he need to desperately get to Oklahoma so bad?
Well, he sounded like he was on meth. Probably not thinking logically here.
He should have kept the goat for himself.
Also, was that guy that did the kidnapping, Kirby, was he in the porno store, too?
He may have just been hanging out in the parking lot to just meet like-minded friends.
Dude, probably one of the worst things you could ever do would be work in a porno store kind of in the middle of nowhere off one of those highway things. You know how many fucking lunatics must be coming through there?
Yeah, I'd say a lot of, like, serial killers, truckers, and just a lot of riffraff.
And they don't have a... I don't think they have bouncers in those places.
You ever seen the strip clubs? There's one in New Hampshire that, like, when my friends and I were under 18, we'd always, like, try to... Like, we always would think about doing this, but we never were like, eh, I can't do it. But they had have, like, the woman in, like, the booth or in the back area, oh, like, go get a lap dance.
The peep... Like, dude, Chicago had a peep booth porn place where there was literally the lady behind the glass.
New York City was famous, and Times Square, I guess, was famous for those back when Times Square was like still kind of edgy.
But I had a friend that went to one and jerked it.
Didn't Felicia Michaels, the comic, didn't she do a documentary about a woman who did that?
Oh, she might have.
And yeah. I think comics would like talk to her on like the disgusting phone next to her and kind of tell her about like their sexual deviancy. I think Diaz was in it because he's friends with Felicia Michaels.
Oh, yeah. I have to check that
out. I fucking eat some Cuban food and then fucking, you know, fucking cocksucker.
But he's like, press your tits against the glass. Yeah. Do it like that.
She's like, oh, okay. Cool.
What a fucking, like this guy's like, hey, let's go fuck this goat. And then I'll run by the porn store real quick. We'll fuck it while we're watching porno. No one will ever know.
Yeah, the next thing you know, they're like in a fucking, like, shit, now we're in a police report. I bet they, like, didn't want any contact with cops either. Like, why do you have a goat? I don't know. It was my friend's. He's still in the store.
Dude, and the ridicule they're going to get in this town when they go to their local bar. They'll be like, hey, look who it is.
They definitely can't go back to the porno store. They're done there.
So now they got to go all the way across town to the other porno store.
Or black market. Trading tapes on Craigslist.
Try the fucking internet, you morons.
Who is anyone who buys porno in 2020? What is your life? What are you doing?
LA still has shops.
You just like the longer films? Like, what the fuck? Like, why buy pornography?
Yeah, because I think they think, like, the storytelling is gone.
You can go online and talk to your favorite star in this day and age for, like, the right amount of money.
Dude, you can go fuck your favorite star for the right amount of money now. And it's not even that much.
Yeah, it's like, why? What's happening?
It's a bizarro. Bizarro.
I don't get it. Before we get out of here, happy birthday to Jake on May 1st. Enjoy that birthday. Maybe the police will drive by and do a little parade for you like you're a child.
Yeah, hopefully you get those birthday boy spankings.
And thanks to Benji, said he's been listening to us for a long while. He got his lady Lainey into it. New female fan alert, Lainey.
You say Lainey?
Yeah.
Lainey Gelber?
I don't know if it's Dean Gelber's mother, who's been drinking for free at the Comedy Store, allegedly, for years. I'm not sure, but...
allegedly and also 100%.
Yeah, that we could prove it.
100% true. I had allegedly.
One of the funniest stories involving Lainey Gelber is we got this secondhand. I forget who told us this, but Duncan Trussell.
Oh, by the way, have you seen his new Netflix show?
I haven't seen it. I saw a preview for it. I was like, I had no idea he had that going.
I just saw it and I clicked on it and I go, oh, this is Duncan's based off his podcast.
And it was, he does the voice of the main character. It's him and the dude who created Adventure Time, was a friend of his.
I watched the first episode.
Seemed pretty crazy from what I saw. Pretty insane stuff going on.
Wild times.
So Duncan Trussell, there was this waitress at the Comedy Store. We've talked about her before. Her name may have been Katie. And had a penchant to drink on the job. Somebody once left a Yelp review and they're like, my waitress was so drunk, like from the beginning of the show.
And everyone goes, oh, Katie.
Yeah. And she may or may not have had sex with an open, like just left the bathroom door unlocked and then yelled at an employee for open. Like, what are you doing? Get out of here. And so Dean the Nightmare Gelber may have tried to get friendly with her. Duncan went up to Dean's mom and he said, did you hear what happened to Katie? She was there that night all fucking drunk. And she's like, oh, no, what?
She was slurring and she was stumbling around the usual.
He said she had a stroke. And she's like, oh my God, that's terrible. I feel so bad. And she went up to her and was like, hello, how are you doing? Okay. Talk to her all slow.
Like she was a fucking child.
Oh man. What
and
a great.
She said, I hope you're feeling better.
What a great thing to tell. Because it's so realistic is what's great about it. Is that
it's a great prank. Solid prank.
Hats off to Duncan Trussell for that one.
And look at him now. He's got his own Netflix series.
Yeah, he's the voice. What's it about?
He just takes excerpts from his podcast and then basically animates them to stories that kind of have nothing to do with what they're discussing. They're like...
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Basically,
philosophical
questions. I don't. Well, the first one I saw was him and Dr. Drew talking about drugs. And it was set to the... This guy basically plays a space caster, and he's sent to these other worlds to interview different random fucking figures.
Okay.
And so...
What a world we live in where a doctor is like... A big comedy podcaster.
I know.
He went up to that guy in med school, but it seems like did he want to be an opera singer? He's always had aspirations.
Yeah, I think he wanted to be an opera singer and tried to get into acting.
And he's clearly super into. I mean, he's like stayed pretty jacked over. Like he's in. Like I remember Stern and them. We've talked about it before. Said he was like, "You're narcissistic." He's like, "What?"
Yeah, it's a. Yeah, I mean, whatever he wants to do. But
Drew Pinsky.
Yeah, he's in the first episode. He does the thing, but
yeah,
everyone's
I'll have to
like,
try to check it out.
Yeah, it's all right. It was pretty good. Like I saw one episode, but yeah, I liked it. I thought it was, you know, it's like
just see what I saw seemed like very drug trippy and not, you know, it's kind of
yeah. It's basically like an acid trip listening to Duncan's podcast.
Yeah, and with the animation style of Adventure Time.
Yeah, so check it out. He's not paying us. We haven't even talked to him in years.
Every now and then I'll see him and say, people tell me I look like you. And he's like, you're me if I was like on steroids, man. It's great. She just like laughs.
He looks like a fucking long haul truck driver now.
He wears that yodeling hat every now and then too. That
now he wears like a trucker cap. He's got like a giant gray beard. He looks like a lunatic.
He should wear that Dave Attell beanie. Dave Attell is always dressed for the middle of winter, no matter what season it is.
Oh, I know. That's why I don't think he comes out to California much in the summer. I only see him in the winter.
He wears like a heavy jacket, a fucking winter hat, a hat over the winter hat, like a baseball hat. Very odd look.
I've seen him in short sleeve shirts like twice.
It must have been like 110.
Yeah, it was. It was hot as fuck.
He's like, I feel naked. I have my bare arm showing. This is disgusting.
He also, have you noticed his hats have a longer bill than most average hats?
He loves the blank, solid black or blue hat, like the police sketch hat.
Yeah.
Never a logo. He's a logo-less man.
He doesn't
want to
support anybody. I like it.
It's a very odd look. Like he looks like he's going to do a show like outside in the dead of winter.
It's working for him.
I would sweat profusely. I sweat profusely in a fucking
Dude, I'm
t-shirt.
Sweating profusely right now. I gotta get this off. I'm drenched head to toe.
Yeah, it's hot, man.
It's
hot.
A scorcher.
So hot. Madonna was dirty dancing with a popsicle stick.
Bob Eprovia. All right, everybody, be cool.
Stay safe out there. If you're gonna ride those electric bikes, put a helmet on.
Yeah, put a fucking helmet on.